Alec Bussey back from Omaha. We will talk to him on his way to Ames. There is a football press conference availability today, yes, because basketball's not over yet. Football is underway, and we'll talk to Bussey as he heads up there before that, but obviously basketball will dominate when he joins us at 11:30. 12:05, Adam Emenecker, former Drake Bulldog, on the news that broke yesterday that Darren DeVries is off to West Virginia, so we'll pick Emenecker's brain on what comes next for the Bulldogs and potentially a couple of names out there. Marty Richter, a very popular name amongst the remaining guys on the roster. So that at 12:05, and then Scott Dockerman on Iowa. The men's season ended last night. The women take the next step tonight at 7 o'clock. At Carver Hawkeye is Caitlin Clark. We'll play her final game at Carver, as will the rest of the seniors, but an Iowa gal going out. I'd like to see that go out on top, obviously, and they'll be heavy favorite to do so. Trent's plays the day. Circa Sports sponsor those. Those come to us about 10 minutes before 1. A lot to get to. What a tournament this is. It's absolutely incredible. I mean, not betting-wise for everybody, but certainly the favorites, I think, probably made a lot of people happy over the last couple of days, but we'll get into it. How are you, sir?
A little tired. Long week.
A lot of driving?
Yeah, a lot of driving. Long week, but back at it, ready to go. And well, it's a good thing I was not inside the state borders and not able to wager throughout this tournament because, you know, I like to bet dogs.
Yeah, this wasn't the weekend to do that.
Not at all. Yeah. So save my bankroll a little bit this weekend.
Who was the only one that went, that did the only favorite? Baylor was the only favorite that didn't cover yesterday?
Yeah.
Jeez. Unreal.
15-1 on the money line. Favorites. Oh. In the second round of the NCAA tournament. So if you're a dog player like I am, you got walloped. That normally means the books also probably
got killed.
Took it on the chin, yeah. I'm going to anticipate this weekend.
Yeah, Thursday was good. Had Palm on Friday, Mike Palm, and he said it was good, but I'm guessing when we talk to him again, probably be Thursday with Good Friday coming up here this week. Anyways, lots to get to. A phenomenal tournament. Iowa State women, what a game last night.
Oh, man. What could have been, right?
Oh, Trent, they got and what's going to be. I'm going to go on a limb and say what's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because this team's all coming back, with one exception. Belanger moves on. But this is a young team, as we know. They had a plan for Audie Crooks, but you know what? If they're going to pack down on her, they do have somebody who can shoot the basketball.
Boy, was Emily Ryan.
Oh, she couldn't miss.
From the beginning of the game, just an absolute stud. And, and dictating pace and doing things, whatever she really wanted throughout the course of that game. And this is going to be a great learning experience. They went toe-to-toe with easily one of the best teams in the country.
Without a doubt.
A team that can beat you in a myriad of different ways. And Irafin, she was awesome.
Oof.
Man, she was good. And she could do it a myriad of different ways, too. But to go toe-to-toe with that team, with Brink in the middle and her size.
At least for a while.
Follow her out.
Yeah.
That call was...
I mean, how could you...
I know.
It's looking...
It's women's officiating. It's just bad.
It is so far behind the times, is it not? I mean, who in the right... Of course she was shooting. And she hit the ground hard, Trent.
She landed straight on her back.
Straight on her back.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You're right. They got some players, including Kiki. How do you say her Latin? Irafin? Or however she went for 40.
Irafin.
Look, Audie Crooks was phenomenal on Friday night with the 40 points. You knew that they were going to have a plan for her when they played here last night. They did, but you know what? As we said, Ryan was hitting everything, and they're going to pack down. Just let the outside shooter shoot. So good for Bill Fennelly. This team was not supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
This came out of nowhere for a lot of people.
We thought this was maybe a dead program walking back in May and June. I mean, you look at the defections that they had.
Mm-hmm.
Impactful players.
Yeah. And what's going on?
Yes,
remember that?
Is this the end of times for Bill Fennelly?
Why is everybody leaving?
Yes, is this collapsing? Yeah. We knew they had a good class. We didn't know it was going to be this good.
Well, maybe now we know why those defections came.
Absolutely. Right. Hey, here comes the cavalry, and your playing time's not going to be there. But what they obviously have with Audie Crooks, I mean, it goes without saying what she can be.
Mm-hmm. And Addie Brown,
absolutely, who, for my money, might even have a bigger upside as a player.
Mm-hmm.
Audie Crooks needs to do work. I mean, she has, you saw against length like that, the size is an advantage. But against taller players, she's got to get quicker.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to be able to do that because against those tall, lankier athletes, there are times that it's going to be a struggle.
And
you don't see a ton
of
them, but you're going to see some of them. And if you want to see Iowa State get to a Final Four, if you want to see them break through and have those kind of moments, there's going to be those kind of players in the way. But her and Brown and Ryan coming back for another season.
Yeah, that's huge.
Jackson, I think we saw good things out of her. It's they have the pieces absolutely to be dynamic and mm-hmm. to take over what has happened in the state over in Iowa
There's
City.
No question.
To have that kind of build in front of them. They absolutely can do that with the right retooling. They have the coach absolutely that can do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's won a lot of big games.
Yes.
And he's
been doing it a long time.
Absolutely. And pulled upsets and taken teams that didn't have this raw talent.
This might have been his best year, coaching-wise.
I don't think it would be a stretch to say that. Getting this team to the round of 32, to a Big 12 championship game in the tournament, mm-hmm. just having them be an NCAA tournament team. Where they were 9 months ago to where they are today, it's amazing.
Nobody saw it coming. Nobody saw it coming. Well done, Bill Fennelly. Well done for the ladies on that team. And have a good summer and come back. And Cyclone fans, support women's basketball and have for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
This has even a chance to, yes. you know, sell more tickets because women's basketball is a rocket ship right now. There's no doubt about it. And as you mentioned, the face of basketball, women's basketball in the state is moving on. Audie Crooks, come on down and we shall see. All right. I don't know where you want to go next. Obviously, the news from Forest Avenue was heard. We've got a team in Iowa State in the Sweet 16, which is huge. We got the curtain coming down on Carver tonight, which is sad in a way. And the Iowa men packing the balls and the uniforms away for another year. Let's do Drake.
Okay.
And where they go and what they do from it. It sure has a feel of the 2007-08 when it seemed like it was inevitable that Keno Davis was moving on. Here's the saving grace in all of this. Sandy Hafele Club's gone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Brian Harden. There's an adult in charge of the program. Quite honestly, now
and maybe somebody that is a little more willing to actually listen to other ideas.
Well, that's just it. Because if it wasn't her idea, it wasn't going to fly.
Absolutely. Well, Darren DeVries,
mm-hmm.
two different times.
Right. Yeah.
Wasn't her idea. She didn't like it. Nope.
I've got this guy that I just launched, a media guy, Mark Phelps. Sandy.
Oh, yeah. He was an assistant in Arizona State. Arizona State stinks of basketball. Let's go bring in that guy. How about a Ray Giacoletti? Can I interest you in a lightly used Ray Giacoletti?
Those are two beauties, weren't they?
This program is also in a lot better shape.
Yes, they are.
Because of Darren DeVries mm-hmm. than it was in any of the instances.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to Rudy Washington? Maybe. I mean, even at that time.
Because he turned it over to who? Kanasky?
Is that what it went? Yeah, Washington to Kanasky. That sounds right.
I think it was.
And it didn't go well for either of those guys. It was dreadful for both of those guys for long, long stretches there. This program is in better shape. The Missouri Valley is more attainable. And this program is looked at a much different light than it was at that time. You have a dedicated practice facility. You're ahead of the arms race of a lot of schools, a lot of your brethren in the MVC. You're at a major city.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a city that also has plenty of talent.
Yep.
So there are a lot more positives
Second
to this
Second biggest
job.
City in the valley behind Nashville?
Yeah, you're probably right.
I would think.
Yeah, right in that range.
Here's my question about the whole thing. Why West Virginia? What's the tie?
I don't think there is a tie.
I could see... I think the fan base had to know, and Brian Harden had to know that the likelihood this was going to happen, there's a pretty good chance. If he takes the Michigan job, which I'm not even sure he's offered, mm-hmm. I'm just saying, if it's Michigan, all right, that's a little easier to swallow. Why West Virginia of all schools?
West Virginia's been historically very good at basketball.
Sure.
It's a place that has NIL funds. It is a place that will support their school, and because of that, that's already a leg up. You're in the Big 12. You're in the best conference in America. That is, I think, a big selling point,
too. But he's a Midwest guy.
Midwest adjacent, West Virginia. Look, I don't think that it's all of a sudden because he doesn't have recruiting connections in West Virginia that he's going to be in trouble.
No, it's NIL. Things have changed.
Yeah.
If you can write a check, you're going to get guys that never would have looked at you in the past.
Well, hell, look at his roster this year at Drake. Outside of DeVries, Tucker.
Yeah, they're coming from all over.
They didn't have one other in-state player on their roster. So that shows you he can go anywhere. He can find talent.
It just didn't seem, I'm not saying square, hole, round peg. Is that the phrase?
Mm-hmm.
It just, I don't know. Well, good for him. I'm happy for him. I guess I don't quite understand. But as you said, you're right. There's a lot of history there. Basketball-wise, it is the Big 12. But it just seemed like there would have been maybe better offers out there. Maybe there wasn't. Who knows? But we do know he's going. We do know that Overton's going. We know that Wright is going. We know that Tucker is going. We know that Brody has no choice but to go.
Right.
So this roster is down to Connor Enright as far as the starting five, right?
Yeah.
As of today?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they've got a really good recruit coming in. Where's he from? He's a top 100 kid. We'll see. We'll see if they're able to keep the pipeline going. How quickly do you think Harden moves? He said yesterday he's going to take his time.
I think you can at a place like Drake, too. I don't think it's anything that you need to rush into because you can go so many different avenues.
Marty Richter, who's on the staff now, and seemingly the players want him.
Right. That's one that would make sense. But you don't do it for the short-term game. I mean, this is going to be a roster that has to be completely remade.
Without a doubt.
You don't worry about players 7 through 12 keeping them happy.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
No.
And that's really what we're
talking
about.
Although the way the roster looks now, 7 through 12 have just moved up to 2 through 6.
Right, yeah. definitely a big change on that one. So I don't think you can go that direction, just say, let's placate the players.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get it
right. No, look around. I agree with you. I agree.
You know, do you look up at Iowa State? Does it make sense there? Is a guy like...
With Blount, you mean?
Blount, or even, what about Kyle Green?
You know, his name popped into my head, Trent.
Mine too, and I haven't seen any scuttlebutt, at least much of it, out there.
Uh-huh. Does he want to be a head coach?
He's
been an assistant forever.
Right, and a very good one.
Yes.
And a very good scout. A very good one. You're talking about those scouting reports. Mm-hmm. People when they
Jacobson
talk about...
Jacobson and TJ, yes, both.
They talk about Kyle Green. That's one of the first things that's talked about with him. And does he have the personality? Does he want to be front-facing? Does he want to be that guy that has to go to every press conference and answer all the questions? I just don't know.
And by the way, I said this last week, TJ Otzelberger is getting polished in front of a microphone. He is so much better than he was.
Yeah.
He really is.
Uh-huh.
And I thought just last week, it's the South Dakota State guys. He knows the media and stuff. He's really good. And he's not struggled, but that was kind of, not a knock, but you get my point. He's just better now.
Do you have any idea why we're hearing more about Blount than we are Kyle Green?
No, I'm not.
And that's just what kind of struck me as different, at the very least, is something that you weren't exactly to see. You look around.
Is he the assistant coach? I don't know how much you've seen of the term. When, you know, every team's got the bracket in their locker room, and they stick their Velcro or whatever it is. And there's one of the assistants that's been doing that for Iowa State, and the players go crazy, go bananas. I wonder if it's I don't know. Maybe it's a players thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's a good players coach. But yeah, Kyle Green was a name that came to mind.
Eric Crawford, another one, as we're just kind of plucking the Iowa State.
What about Henderson with South Dakota State?
That's a good one. Iowa guy, I like that idea. Mm-hmm. Step up, coming from the Summit League, moving up to the MVC, and you're kind of looking those ascension plans.
Now, this guy's not a head coach, but another name that popped into my head, and he was an assistant at Drake, briefly, because Medved wasn't there very long, but he's a Panther. Ali Farouk Manesh.
Oh, yeah, that's...
I mean, he's got to be almost ready, right?
He's getting very close, absolutely. I think that's definitely a direction when you're looking at
assistants. Played the Valley, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Knows the Valley.
Matt Gatens?
There's another one.
Yes.
Yeah, Matt Gatens. Good one.
He knows the area incredibly well.
Uh-huh.
He's been an assistant. He's been on that bench before.
Yep. He will be a head coach at some point.
Yes.
Marty Richter? Players want him, but I agree, Trent. You got to look. Yes, the bottom of the roster is going to move up, at least for now, but...
I heard a lot, Northwest Missouri State's Ben McCollum.
McCollum, yeah.
I heard him with West Virginia.
Oh, you did?
Yes. I mean, this thing's been open really all year long. I mean, they had an interim this season,
right, yeah.
But more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that connection with him in West Virginia, boy, probably a month back. And somebody told me they thought it was close to a done deal.
Really?
Obviously, that didn't come to fruition here. McCollum has won a crap ton of games.
Yeah, he has.
He's won national championships.
How old is he?
I want to say 47, 48.
Oh, he's late 40s?
Yeah,
okay.
He's right in that range. Mm-hmm. He has been incredibly good at Northwest Missouri State. Always a good program, but has even elevated him to that final step and done that.
And the rumor with him was, is he was waiting for the Drake job because he didn't take the Mo State job.
Right, yeah. And that's been out there, too. So why would the Drake job be better than Missouri State? I just think Missouri State's a sleeping giant.
Yeah.
They've had pockets of success. Mm-hmm. Charlie Spoonover for a while, and of course Alford, what he was able to do. They haven't been able to figure it out really for the last couple of decades.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of the successes there. But McCollum would be a name. That would be, to me,
that's
a home run.
That's the one.
If you get him,
mm-hmm.
because I know there's been other opportunities for him at the Division I level. If you get him at Drake, that's a big win. That's an absolute huge win.
Mm. Well, we'll see. I feel bad for Bulldog fans today. I mm-hmm. do. I truly do. You had this back in 2008 when Keno left. And now you're going through it again. The program was certainly on an uptick. And you know what? I don't know that Darren DeVries used Tucker in the negotiations or not,
mm-hmm.
but he wouldn't have been able to do it next year.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, now's the time. And
it could be as simple as for Darren, this was it. This was their best opportunity.
Yeah.
Your best power job, mm-hmm. the best opportunity for Tucker.
Knowing that Overton was probably going to leave if DeVries stayed or not.
Yep. Because he's going to have a lot of options.
Oh, boy.
And
oh
he
boy.
Is going to get a bag.
Yeah. And I wonder if Tucker's already, I'm sure he has, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's already been promised what he's going to get mm-hmm. by joining Dad. Let's go to Iowa State, where I have had an epiphany watching this basketball game.
You did? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
You know the most important player on TJ's team?
The most
important player on TJ Otzelberger's team.
What's the point guard? Taman Lipsey.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
Okay.
And maybe important's not the right word. As integral to a part of that roster as anybody. And he missed the first shot of the game. And if he makes the first shot of the game, it seemingly goes all different for Iowa State. Milan Manchilovic.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
If he's shooting the basketball and he's stretching that that defense and bringing them out to him, this is a different offense. And when a shot's not falling, and particularly him, he's so important to this team. He's so important to this team. He didn't score in the first half.
And we talked about him a ton in the final month of the season.
Uh-huh.
He went over
he hit a wall.
Yes. Going into the tournament, he had scored 0, 6, 11, 4, 8, 9, 10, 2, 5. That's what he'd done.
What did he do in Kansas City?
In Kansas City then started to change. Starting with the semifinal win against Baylor, has 11 in that game, 4 of 11 from the field, 3 of 6 though. From behind the arc. 4 three-pointers against Houston, 18 in that one. 19 against South Dakota State, and 10 all in the second half against Wazoo.
When he hits that first shot of the game...
How about this?
Okay.
When he's playing well offensively, this is a team that can beat anybody in the country.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's a fair way to characterize it.
Yeah, okay.
If he's going...
Yeah, because Lipsy's... You know, Lipsy, right.
Sure. But if he is going offensively, mm-hmm. they're as good as anybody in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Because the defense is going to be there regardless of what's happened with Manchilovic.
Including Manchilovic, who's committed to the defensive end of the floor.
That's always going to be there, but there are times they get bogged down.
Uh-huh.
There's times that Lipsy, he's had some clunkers, and you see mm-hmm. that, and the turnovers start to rise. We've seen all the guys have rough stretches. Robert Jones is not a ball you can just dump into the ball 15 times a game and go to work, big. No, that's not the way that it works with him.
Yeah.
I think that is very fair, though. When you put him there, when he is going, this is a completely different team. Because there are still some limitations offensively, and you're going to need some offense against Illinois.
Trent, they are about to play. Who are the Shed's unbelievable?
Yes,
an unbelievable player. Obviously, Zach Edey's unbelievable player. Mm-hmm. But when you're looking at the best players remaining in the 16 teams that are still out there, Terrence Shannon Jr. is on every list.
He is right there, no doubt.
He's on every single list.
Now, Tristan Newton for UConn.
He's pretty good, too.
But it's not just Newton.
Yeah, they got other dudes.
Yeah, that's the other part mm-hmm. of it. Leedy from San Diego State, that dude's a stud. And mm-hmm. they're still alive on the top half of that bracket in the East, and they'll get to see UConn. Philip Pekowski, they didn't need him.
Uh-uh.
And they cruised into the Sweet 16. Dalton Connect, throw him in there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's on the list, SEC Player of the Year. But my point being is they're about to see a really great player. And they saw one in Shed throughout the, in Kansas City 2 weekends ago. But this dude is really good, and Hawkins is really good, and they've got Damask is a good player. You know who's starting to play well and he had an awful season? Dane Danger.
Yes.
Where's this come from?
I remember the first matchup that Iowa played them. And I brought up Danger.
You brought him up the day before they played him. That he's done nothing.
And he had really struggled. It was just more of a concern because he'd played so well historically against Iowa.
Uh-huh.
And I think I asked Kakert.
It was Kakert. It was Tom. Yeah. Yes, it was.
And he said, he just hasn't been playing. Uh-huh. I said, you watch, he'll play. And he did. And since then.
He's been okay.
He, he's athletic as all get out. Yeah. He's got that part of it, but his offensive game has really matured here over the last 3 weeks, really, of the season. This is a team that can beat you in a myriad of ways. They're terrible defensively. Yep. They are. They're a bad defensive team. Yep. But their offensive fiber, this is, I mean, the old adage, offense versus defense, right? What would you rather have, this kind of game? Who dictates the style? They're going to have a huge advantage of this one. Now, both teams have won both styles of games throughout the course of the year, but this is one. If Iowa State can make it that kind of grinded out game, ugly it up, they got a great chance. If this gets up and down the floor, they feel like they have a great chance. It is as compelling of a matchup, and well, Van Pelt was talking about it last night at SportsCenter.
Was he really?
This was the one that he looked at of the Sweet 16 matchups.
This is his favorite one.
This is his favorite one.
Well, you know, it's tough. I mean, you probably shouldn't compare different games, etc. But in both cases, and they were both late in the year, so it's not like I'm going back to December, I thought Iowa was every bit as good as Illinois in the first game, and Illinois beat them by 10. Mm-hmm. And then when the curtain fell on the regular season on Sunday night, I didn't think that Iowa was embarrassed by any means by Illinois.
And if you take away the first 8 minutes.
Right, when Iowa just couldn't make it. What was the score?
24-5?
It was awful.
Something like that. And yeah, they're toe-to-toe with that team. And now that team, now Shannon's playing at a completely different level. In that first Illinois game, he did not play well in that one. The whole starters got benched by Underwood.
That's right. There was a line change. Yes. That's right. He was pissed off.
Uh-huh. And he came back in there and they found a way.
Forgot about that. That's good.
But this one is going to be eyeballs everywhere. I don't think that Van Pelt and us are alone. A lot of people are excited about this matchup.
For as long as the people in the Central and Eastern time can keep their eyes open. I mean, for God's sakes, 10 after 9.
Oh, come on, old man. You'll be fine.
No, I'd have been finer if it was at 6.
Well, sure.
And I don't speak for, I know that I speak for a lot of people.
Yes, kids will be in bed, I'll be able to settle in, and away we go. I'm pumped up for that.
Mm.
I love those 9 o'clock starts.
Well, you're going to be early, because this one's every bit of 9 o'clock. It's scheduled for 9:10. We'll see if it goes off anyways. What a tournament, Trent. Good God, it's every year.
In a way, kind of boring. I mean, we saw a few upsets. We got the scattering. We get the Oakland story, which was incredible, beating Kentucky, and that was great, but as we sit here, your only double-digit seed in the Sweet 16 is NC State. They don't count. I mean, they won 2 national championships.
You know, I had a kid on Friday. Not a kid. Probably, I don't know how old he was. He was 30s, what I'm just guessing. Called at the end of the show. Played baseball at Oakland.
Oh, really?
Played baseball at Oakland. Yeah, it was cool. He was listening to the coach, etc. afterward. How about all the t-shirts that they sold? Did you hear the story?
The
website crashed. The Oakland website crashed. And I guess there was a bunch of people from all Louisville Cardinal fans that were buying Oakland t-shirts because they were shipping a bunch of t-shirts to the Louisville zip code in advance of next year's, the theory goes, Kentucky and Louisville, when they play each other, there'll be a whole bunch of Louisville fans in this audience wearing Oakland t-shirts. The rivalry runs deep in the bluegrass.
My buddy Rush Niggett, who does high school baseball with us and a fine attorney here in the Des Moines Metro, his son Will played baseball at Oakland, and he told me he kind of had these thoughts. All
maybe
right.
It was Will that called me.
Could have been.
Does Will live here?
He's up in St. Paul now, going in grad school up there at St. Thomas, where he finished up his career. But he played at Oakland. Rush told me, too, you think of that campus, you kind of have this picture, right? All right, commuter campus, kind of city-like. He said it's beautiful.
Really?
Yeah, it's a beautiful campus. It is a lot of wealthier individuals that go to that school more than you'd anticipate for a Michigan type of school. But yeah, he said a beautiful campus there. And Greg Campy, their coach, he's got a lot to do with that. Been there for 40 years.
It's unreal, the story.
Has made that program irrelevant. That's a program that people across the country know. And it's a big part of him. Go back, Courtney Scott? Remember him transferred from Iowa to Oakland?
I do
and they made
that.
The NCAA tournament. I think they pushed a one seed 1 year when they were 16 when Courtney Scott was the center. Maybe
Camp never slept a wink on Friday. He hadn't been to bed. Just kept doing interview after interview after interview. Good for him.
Enjoy it, right?
Absolutely. We'll take a timeout. Alec Buss, we're going to catch him before he heads into the Iowa State football press conference availability. I wonder how many Cyclone fans will make their way to Boston.
I looked at prices last night.
What was it?
I think it was $818 was the cheapest. That wasn't asinine.
That's
not
crazy.
There were a couple of cheaper ones, but it was an 8-hour layover here or something like that. Yeah, none of that. Where it's relatively easy. Leave on Thursday morning, you get there midday on a Thursday, and then come back on Sunday. And it was little $800 and change to get there. not awful, but the UConn fans are going to eat up those tickets. It is not going to be an easy ticket to get in there.
Nope.
And it's going to be a pricey weekend if you're making your way out.
Yeah, Boston's not cheap to begin with.
Right.
Boy, there's a bunch of history to see in that city on the off day. Anyways, we'll take a timeout. Bussy coming up next. CycloneAlert.com. Adam Emenecker, where does Drake go? We'll ask Adam at 12:05. And Scott Dockerman, he covers the Hawks. He'll be at Carver tonight watching the curtain come down on the women's program. Final game. Not saying that they're going to lose. This is their last
you're
opportunity
put that out there?
To play at home.
15.5 was the
is
number
that
last
the number?
Week. Yeah.
By the way, did you see the number in the first game, what it went off at? We, for our chicken coop, set it at 33. Mm-hmm. It was 31.
Oh, pretty
good. So we were pretty darn good. Miller and Condon, underway on a Monday. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Alec Bussy covers Iowa State for CycloneAlert.com, part of 24/7 Sports. All right, you two knuckleheads. We get to vote, the three of us. We're going to decide the Naismith Coach of the Year award winner. You ready, Bussy?
Yeah, guys. How we doing?
Good, good, good. All right, for the women, it comes down to these four. Lisa Bluter, Lindsey Gottlieb, USC, Vandeveer, Stanford, or Dawn Staley at South Carolina. Your vote, Trent Condon.
And Dawn Staley.
Your vote, Alec Bussy.
What if I want to say Kim Mulkey?
You'll be kicked off these radio airwaves.
Yeah, you're the reason journalism is why it is, Bussy.
No, I'll say Dawn Staley.
All right, it's unanimous. Now, for the men, and then before we get back to Iowa State, Lamont Paris, South Carolina.
Great job.
Calvin Sampson, Houston. Dan Hurley, UConn. Yeah. And T.J. Otzelberger, Iowa State. Your first, Alec Bussy. Who are you voting for?
Yeah, I'll go T.J. Otzelberger. I'm a big believer in, like, the idea of the way that Coach of the Years are voted for is oftentimes, like, well, who overachieves the most.
Yeah.
And maybe that's unfair to this Iowa State team, but they're number two seed, and they were picked seventh in the Big 12 before the season. So I'll pick Iowa State's T.J. Otzelberger.
Trent Condon.
T.J.'s got a strong case. Danny Sprinkle, not on the list, was one that I really liked.
By the way, he just accepted the Washington job, so he'll be in the Big Ten.
I'm going Danny Hurley. They were preseason number six, lost plenty off of last year's team, and hit the ground running with Cam Spencer helping him out this year out of the portal.
Yeah.
But I'll go with Hurley, number one overall seed. But it's close.
The right answer is T.J. Otzelberger. Let's move on.
I thought they were going to be good, though.
Yeah.
It's not my fault that the idiots didn't have them as a top 25 team.
That's true. They didn't. You did. Let's talk. You're back from Omaha, obviously. You're headed to Ames for the football press conference media day. Alec, when I watch this team, the more that I watch this team, the more it just exacerbates how important I think Milan Manchilovic is to this offense, because, you know, he hits his first shot. He did it in Kansas City. The place went crazy. Team's going to use that behind them. Likewise, he did it against South Dakota State. The team gets going right away. He missed his first shot the other day against Washington State, and they struggled. He's so important to this offense, Alec, I guess is where I'm going.
Yeah, and I think you can even take that point a little bit further. If you look at his box score from the first half compared to the second half, he was 1 of 4 from the floor in the first half in the round of 32 game against Washington State, and then I think 3 of 4 from the field in the second half against Wazoo. Kind of saw Iowa State pull away. He is so, so important to them on the offensive end because he's one of their most reliable shot makers, and he plays a ton of minutes. And especially against Washington State, that's a team that has a lot of size, and I thought early in the game, really in the first 10 to 15 minutes, Washington State did an incredible job of keeping Iowa State's two guards out of the paint, which made things difficult for the entire Iowa State offense to really function and get into some of the actions that they like to.
Tied up at halftime against Wazoo, they pull away and get the lead into the beginning of the second half and then cruise into the victory. It was certainly their length. What did you see out of the squad? What were the adjustments that they made to combat some of that length from Washington State and get on that run, both in the end of the first half and then into the second?
Yeah, Trey, in the first half, I think a lot of it is they just started accepting the contact at the rim and going straight at it, and they were getting to the free throw line as much as anything. I remember early in the game, in the first 10 minutes, two instances where Keyshawn Gilbert drove into the paint and looked like he was in the air trying to avoid contact before it.
Yeah.
And it altered his release. It was just kind of awkward. And Keyshawn does kind of have some, like, awkward angles and, like, different finishes at the rim just with the way he plays. But then he started just going straight into contact, and Iowa State started getting to the free throw line. And I thought that that's really what kind of sparked, you know, them getting back into it, tying the game right before halftime. And then in the second half, I thought certain players stepped up and made big shots. You talked about Filovic, you know, stepping up and going 3 of 4, I think, from beyond from the field in the second half. Curtis Jones was huge, finishes with 14 points. So I think they just kind of had some better shot making as well in the second half.
And they were able to not take Wells completely off the floor, but boy, he killed him in the first half. We have 16 or 18 in the first half and minimal impact in the second half of that basketball game. So going forward to Illinois, I'm not sure that you've had an opportunity to take a look at this Illinois team. What do you think of this matchup that we'll see at 10 after 9 Central Time on Thursday night?
Yeah, so I know a ton about Illinois. I think it's a really fun matchup for each team because styles like fights, and you see two profiles of two teams that are incredibly, incredibly different in the way that they try to be successful this season. Illinois is a team that's elite offensively, I believe, since January 1. They have the country's number one offense. Iowa State has the country's number one defense, I believe, since the start of the new year. So that makes a ton of fun. From a matchup perspective, and then you can go even a step further. Illinois' defense from that same time period is outside of the top 50, and they really struggle on that side of the court. I do question some of the athletic matchups for Iowa State, size matchups for Iowa State, but they've been able to overcome those at various points this season because of how good their defense is, their ball pressure, their activity, their energy, how hard they play, and really they're just relentless on the defensive side of the court. So it's a really good matchup. I think Illinois has more talent on paper, but I think Iowa State's been able to beat a lot of teams this season that maybe have more talent than they do on paper. And that says a lot about, you know, the coaching job that TJ Osselberger has been able to do all season, as well as how connected this group is.
Hassan Ward, when he came off that injury, beginning of January for Big 12 play, came out really well. They kind of hit a lull for quite a while. Didn't see that same kind of explosion that we were certainly seeing throughout the beginning part of this season. He's been playing very well here lately. What is it? Is it just a health thing for Ward, getting a little more minutes? What is it? Because we've certainly seen maybe the best of Hassan Ward here over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, Trent, I think they're just running more actions for him on the offensive side. And for a long stretch of time, when you talk about him kind of hitting the wall, I just don't feel like they did enough to go to him. He's an elite pick and roll, short roll, lob catcher, finisher. He has a great ability to finish above the rim. I mean, he had 5 dunks in the round of 64 game. I think he's somebody that they can rely on more. We know that Taman Lipsey, we know that Keyshawn Gilbert can make effective reads and ball screens, especially Lipsey. And I think that that's a matchup that could potentially become really valuable for Iowa State in the round of 16, this Thursday night against Illinois, because, you know, the Illini don't have anyone of that size and that athleticism that's capable of protecting the rim when Hassan Ward's trying to finish above it. Mm-hmm. You know, Coleman Hawkins is 6'10", but he's more of a 4 defensively. He's a great stretch 5 big man offensively with his ability to shoot it. And Dane Danger is a little bit of a heavier set 5, but he's a good athlete, has good footwork, but he's not someone who's vertically gifted athletically like Hassan Ward is. So I think that that's a potential matchup that could be key for Iowa State in the Sweet 16 against the Illini.
Yeah, I thought Dange had lost his spot in that rotation. I mean, he's coming off the bench now, but he did not have a good regular season. And last year, I would have thought, boy, that this guy's coming back, he's going to be a pain in the you-know-what, and wasn't, and he's playing his best basketball at the end. I want to ask you about DeSean Jackson, who comes over from Charlotte. He's committed to Iowa State. It's exactly what the doctor ordered. We know that Robert Jones is going to be gone, likewise Trey King. They got a 6'11", 260-pound 5-man who's got 2 years of eligibility left. This is a huge get, and there were some heavy heads that were coming after him in the transfer portal, and he's a cyclone.
Yeah, it's a really good get for Iowa State, and I think he fits so much of what this program is looking for in a front court piece. And he's a lot different than JT Rock, who is obviously going to be returning to the rotation next year after having a redshirt season. Yeah, Jackson's a good athlete, really strong, moves really well, can handle the ball pretty well for someone his size as well, I think. But I think he also just plays really hard, has a great, great motor. And I think that that'll really fit well with Iowa State. Has started his career at Washington State, missed one season there because of a medical redshirt, which would have been his junior season. He now is leaving Charlotte. You know, he had his best year at Charlotte, averaging about 11 points a game down there. So he's a good add for them, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them potentially make at least one more addition in the front court. More likely to be at the four position rather than the five, just because of, you know, the loss of Trey King. Jackson's more of a five than he is a four, as well as Rock.
Speaking of that, JT Rock, what have you heard about his development here? I know TJ's been asked about it a little bit. What you've heard about him, 7 foot one, would be a high school senior this year, decided to come early redshirt, and they took that off the table even before practice began. But how the redshirt season has been for JT Rock?
Yeah, something that I really want to explore deeper this week in Boston, with how much people have been asking about it. I want to get a story up on his development and the way he's played in practice. But I know they've worked extensively about, you know, trying to get his diet up, helping him add weight, which is obviously tough when you're as big as he is. Your metabolism moves incredibly fast. To go a little bit further, I know they're working on his physicality, ability at finishing at the rim. But he's also someone who, you know, they feel like he can maybe step out and shoot it and space the floor just a little bit at different points in his career. So someone who I think that they're high on. They put a lot of time in on the recruiting trail, and they want to see it all the way through.
Alec, you're headed to Ames for football availability. Speaking of football, got a good edge rusher who certainly had some good offers. Your thoughts on the recruiting weekend? I see Michael Jacobson's brother Evan plays tight end in Waukee. He got an offer. A bunch of offers made this weekend, and at least one commit. What can you tell us?
Yeah, we'll start with the commitment from Jack Limbaugh, and edge from Algona, high school teammate with Iowa State quarterback pledge in the same class, Alex Mansky. Limbaugh is someone that Iowa State has put a ton of time in with. Great kid, great personality, will really fit well in Iowa State's program as well as their just overall culture. You know, he's someone who is really strong, really gifted athletically. He's quick, he's fast. He's still growing, which I think is exciting as well for an edge prospect. You don't want to take an edge that's done growing before his senior year of high school, just because, you know, a lot of times that means the development, physical maturation, he's close to being tapped out by that point. But he's someone who's still growing, still getting further along athletically, and someone that I think Iowa State, you know, rightfully is excited about having in the program in the next few years. And just another really good in-state recruiting win for Iowa State, who's now got, you know, three of the top six top-ranked players by our rankings at 24/7 Sports committed in the 2025 class within the state of Iowa.
Alec, you're a little bit further away, but you'll get this down the line, and you'll feel really old when you see a name. This one, Mason Bandauer, was there, an offensive lineman from Colorado.
Holy mackerel.
Todd, his dad, the quarterback in the late 90s for Iowa State. Good prospects. Already got offers from Mississippi State, from Nebraska. Iowa State involved with him, too. A name, but we're already talking about the class of 2026. Another reason you feel old. What can you tell us, though, about Bandauer?
Yeah, I don't know a ton yet. Just because, like you said, he's a 2026 prospect. Talks about him being a legacy. Have communicated with him once or twice before. And Iowa State is a program that is of interest to him. Of course, being a legacy likely plays an impact in that. But like you said, has some good early interest from schools across the country.
Good stuff, Alec. We'll read your work at CycloneAlert.com. Are you headed to Boston?
Yeah, I'll be flying about tomorrow around 12:30. So if you guys see me and I look asleep, I probably am. I went and got my hair cut this morning. You know how they do like the hot like towel?
Yeah.
Face. I can't hear fell asleep during that. So I'm running on fumes here.
When do you fly out? Tuesday?
Yeah, leaving tomorrow, and then I won't get back until Sunday around the same time.
All right, we may impose on you from the site on Thursday morning. I'll reach out. Alec Bussey, thank you, Alec. Appreciate what you do for us.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Yep, you do the same.
Talking all about the Drake head coaching search.
Yeah, see you, pal. Good to talk to you. Alec Bussey, as we check in on Iowa State, he's headed to Boston. Good for him. Good stuff there. Great weekend recruiting-wise for the Cyclones as they get an edge rusher. Did you see? Have you seen Evan Jacobson play?
Mm-hmm. A couple of times.
Your thoughts?
I like him a lot.
I always thought his brother should have stuck with football.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, he won a Big 12 championship in Kansas City basketball-wise, mm-hmm. was on that team.
And collected some checks in the NFL.
And did. Yes, he did on practice squads.
Uh-huh. But if he would have been full-time in football.
That's my point.
If I had talked to Dr. Jake, I wonder what he would say. Now, we know the Jacobs family loves hoops.
Right. They got a gym gym next to their house.
And
right?
Evan's a very good basketball player.
Is he really? Yeah. Does he play?
Yeah. He played a ton this year on their team. Lost in the sub-state final. And he's going to be really good going forward. But what's a better chance?
NBA? No, it's the NFL. NFL. Right.
Yeah. And we saw with older brother. So mm-hmm. I'm going to guess now this is going to be a big offseason for him, mm-hmm. On the camp circuit, what it's going to be, because I think he's going to have that skill set that a lot of teams here in the Midwest are going to be looking for.
I'm a big fan of his parents, Mike, Katie and Bill Jacobson, good people. We'll see where this goes. We'll take a timeout, come back, finish up the hour. Miller and Condon, it's a Monday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Millery Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. I forgot to ask Alec Bussey about Caden Proctor. Are you seeing any of this?
Oh, yeah.
Well, is there,
there's smoke.
There is.
Because I've heard rumblings.
Yeah.
Well before this. Remember, I brought up a transfer left tackle at Iowa back in December.
You did, and I thought.
I didn't say his name.
No, I remember you doing it.
And you got to tap dance every once in a while here on the radio. We can't just say everything that we hear, but we're willing to pass around rumors, and I mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
I also had heard at that time, well before Nick Saban had left Alabama, that the first place that Caden Proctor had reached out to was Iowa State University. Before Saban left. When he was home for break, that
before
was when.
Before the playoff game?
Yes. When he was back home for Christmas time, or when the rumblings at least were starting to really start to build about him looking to leave, that Iowa State was the first place that he called.
So before the Michigan game, he's already got one foot out the door.
Oh, yeah. Does it surprise you?
Not now, it does.
The young man's kind of a flake.
Yeah.
I think we've grown to know that.
Yeah. Wherever he lands,
yes.
This isn't just that he's at Iowa State, he's a flake. He's not at Iowa State yet, we'll make that clear.
Very quickly, it got back to him that the funds are not there.
At Iowa State?
At Iowa State. That they're not even close.
Does Campbell want to deal with this?
Man, he's a talent.
Yeah, but
what have we bitched about for 9 years now in Iowa State? They can't figure out an offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You put that kid in there, mm-hmm. that solidifies things very quickly.
But when you think of Matt Campbell, you think about the culture, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Does Caden Proctor fit with Matt Campbell?
No. But there's times you have to look the other way for talent. Yes. Yeah. And talent is not the issue with Caden Proctor.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely has that. So would I be surprised if there's more? Absolutely not. Because I know that at minimum, overtures were made at Iowa State back in December to see what the funds were. The funds were not there. They weren't even close. From Alabama, remember when he signed with Alabama out of high school, the Iowa offer was better.
Mm-hmm.
And people, it's just NIL, just Alabama. No, it's not true. The Iowa offer at that time was better. When he showed up in Iowa City now here, or the second time, or the first time, if you will, back in January,
yep.
trying to get him to room with a couple of different offensive linemen, a couple of players, former teammates, Avery Wampa. No, he wanted to live alone. Got a 3-bedroom townhouse by himself. Now what's he doing in there? There's so much oddity. We mentioned showing up by himself all the time at basketball games and wrestling meets.
Yep.
And there's a lot going on there. That's a young man that needs direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he is getting it from the right people. Mm-hmm. I know people have tried. I know people in the SEP community have tried. I've heard good things about Dad. But there are other factors that it's not going well.
Well, Dad was interviewed after he left Iowa. And
yes.
He seems like he's got a pretty good head on his shoulders. He was surprised by this. But I think the quote was, and I'm paraphrasing a little, but there's nothing I could do.
Yeah.
So he's not. It's not. it's not a sign, sealed, and delivered that he's going to be a member of the Crimson Tide, is what you're saying.
Well, there's nothing to sign.
Not yet, right?
The portal's not even open.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one
avenue.
He's in school. He has to finish the semester.
Uh-huh.
Or he's going to have a ton of work to do this summer to catch up.
I don't see that happening.
Academically, I mean.
So he can't play spring ball anywhere.
Right. He is. And even if he's just taking online courses, he can do it wherever if that's
right,
the case.
Right.
But you'd think a guy that young, just coming in, probably not a whole lot of online opportunities. I mean, when you sign up for class, you're not thinking, well, I'm going to be transferring here in 2 months anyway, so let's make sure these are all online.
Yeah.
Well, you would think. I guess I shouldn't assume that either, because this has been one of the weirdest things. But no, would I be surprised if Iowa State, now they got to come up with funds. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but you bring up a very important part. Is this something that Matt Campbell wants to deal with?
That's just it. Does he fit with Matt Campbell? And the talent fits.
Maybe you get a commitment, and then this summer he says, what?
He's off again.
Off again. Because this is what the NCAA has allowed. Transfer as many times as you want. No repercussions. Absolutely nothing. Nope. Do whatever you want, college athlete. That's where we are today.
One quick question on this, because I know you love to bet on it. When you look at Illinois, Iowa State, what do you see?
Oh, I love Iowa State. I really do. I think that they are... Because of what they do on
the
defensive end.
And the point spread opened to what? It's tight, right?
2.5. I think 2.5 is the number there. I thought it would be more closer to pick them, but I still like Iowa State. I really do. I think they're the right side. I think that the way that they'll be able to bottle them up, and you look at some of those Illinois games, Terrence Shannon, when he goes off, he's a lump.
He's going to get his.
But they are going to throw so many different guys at him that's going to make it incredibly difficult. Yeah, definitely leaning Iowa State here early in the week.
We'll take our time out, come back with hour number two. We'll start with Adam Emenecker. G-Mig sponsors him all season long whenever we talk about Drake and the Valley. We'll see what Adam thinks, where Drake will turn. Marty Richter brought a lot of those guys that are currently on the roster and have played at Drake under DeVries. We'll see if he's in the, we would call him the favorite at this point. And then Scott Dockerman on the Hawkeyes. Trent's plays of the day as well. Hour two is next. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.